is living, if he's living and breathing, pulsated force, hallelujah, on the inside, he is pushing you beyond the marginal parameters of human limitation. He is the very life of God moving in you, so that even when I feel like slowing down, letting go, the life of the Spirit keeps pushing me beyond marks of demarcation and limitation. Push me, Holy Ghost. Somebody say, push me, Holy Ghost. Push me, Holy Ghost. No matter how low conditions become, no matter how low and discouraging, suicide is never an option for the believer. If the breath of God is flowing in you, somebody say yes. If you call yourself a believer, living like a Lucifer and his fallen angels, and then turn around talking about you filled with the Holy Ghost, I would have to agree with you on being full of something, but certainly not the breath of God or the blessed Holy Ghost. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Something is up in there, but it's not the Holy Ghost. Say amen, somebody. When he lives within, he'll drive you to flee sin and make your body a holy sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is like a breath of fresh air. He allows you to live above moral decay. Somebody touch your neighbor and tell him, I can finally breathe again. Come on, let's go higher. When the Bible mentions the word Spirit, it is the word Ruach in the Hebrew, and in the Greek it is Pneuma. Sit for a moment. Which is the transliteration of that is God's active force, or to say the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are referring to the breath of life, the breath of God. This is why in Scripture, breath and spirit are used simultaneously, or should I say interchangeably, in reference to the Greek word pneuma. It is spirit, it is breath, it is wind. Come on and say amen. Come on, somebody. It is the breath that gives you life, but it is also the wind, Carmen, the wind that pushes you, hallelujah, through life. Somebody said, there's a wind beneath my wings. Honey, it's not my hero, it's the Holy Ghost. You ask me how I'm making it through hard times, snake bites, and the bulls of Bashan, and the lions roaring, trying to conquer. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit. Come on and shout hallelujah. And of course, when you talk about pneuma, where we get the English words from, pneumatic. Pneumatic means inflated, hallelujah to God, full of air. Or where we get the medical term from, pneumonia. Come on and talk to me, somebody. Can I push it a little further here? As well as, it means breath. Amen. The pneumonia, that means breathless. Whether, amen, plants, trees, birds, animals, or humans. The perpetuity of every living thing, created thing, is predicated or dependent upon the air we breathe. Come, somebody. Everybody knows that breath is an essential component of life. To breathe is to live. And if you are not breathing, you're either dead or dying. Come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody. Not everything that's not breathing, hallelujah, is dead. Sometimes it just needs, like a dead battery, a jump start. Come on and say amen. Tell somebody, don't write me off, because I'm not dead yet. I may not be moving, but there are signs, hallelujah to God, on the inside that says I'm still alive. When they feel the vital signs, talk to me, nurse. Even though they might be in a comatose state, they don't pull the plug because there's still a little life. Somebody touch your neighbor and tell them I'm not dead yet. I feel the breath of God on the inside of me. Say amen, somebody. Say amen, somebody. At birth, we take our first breath, and with our last breath, life is withdrawn from the body. The Holy Ghost then is, he's the breath of God, and like the air we breathe, we are often oblivious to the presence of God's Spirit until we find ourselves gripping, grasping for breath, because without him breathing, hallelujah to God, through us, it's like saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. God, I feel like preaching, hallelujah, somebody. In other words, as oxygen is to my body, you and I need the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, just to survive. Slap somebody and tell him, let's go higher. I can't breathe without him. Can't grow or go without him. I just can't live without him. No matter how brilliant or self-sufficient you may think that you are, like grass needs the rain, fish needs water, and birds need wings, I need him just to survive. Slap your neighbor and tell him we need him. Shout, we need him. I need to hear somebody say, we need him. The Spirit of God is like our breath. God's Spirit is more intimate with us than we are to ourselves. We may not always be aware of it, but without him, we cannot live a spirit life. It is the Holy Spirit who prays in you, who offers the gifts of love, forgiveness, tenderness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and peace and joy. It is the Holy Ghost who offers us the life that death cannot destroy. This is why we should always prayerfully invoke his presence. God, I feel like going higher. You gotta tell him, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come in your strength. Come in your power. Refuge needs you. Come in your own special way. You gotta tell him, come. Can anybody call him? Can the church call him? Tell him this is a 911. Refuge needs you. Stat, stat, stat. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. Your desire to abide in the presence of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts as we offer this praise unto your name. Tell him come, Holy Spirit. Tell him come on in. Shout yes. Shout yes. Shout yes.
I bet you I'm gonna let you out on time. Discarabasi ando. Discarabandia. Come here. And when you bring look at your neighbor and tell him, oh, how I need him. Hey,
I need him to survive. Somebody say, I need him to survive. I don't have to shoot coke in my vein. I don't have to snort crack cocaine. Come on, somebody. Because there's somebody within. You can't see him, but like the wind, you feel him every time. Shout, he's keeping me. If you say I'm on something, you're absolutely right. Hallelujah, I'm hooked on the Holy Ghost. Look at me this way. The Holy Ghost is the life-giving breath of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Tell somebody, the Holy Ghost is the life-giving breath of God.
You can't live off of your money. Are you hearing me, somebody? But you can live and survive on the Holy Spirit. He is the breath of God. Listen to how Genesis chapter 2 verse 6 through 7 tells it. Because if you really want to connect the truth of New Testament, you got to revert back to Old Testament. You got to go back to where it starts, in the beginning. So back in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, 6 through 7 reads this way. Then the Lord starts. Then is a connector. Come on, somebody. You got to ask me what happened before. And what happened before is what it tells us earlier on, that after creation, he looked around like I did yesterday when this thing was completed. And I said, boy, oh boy, this looks good. Bible said that God looked at his creation, looked around. Look down in Venezuela, look down in Israel, look down in Africa before they were towns and cities. Look down in the great Americas, look down into Europe before it came up, hallelujah, to God into being. And God said, that's good. Hey, something like God, that when God does something, he does it with such precision and with such accuracy. He does it so immaculately that he doesn't need an outside inspector to come on in and tell him to see if he did it according to specification. He looks around and God said exactly what was in my mind 1,000 years before I stepped into planet Earth and said, let there be. He said, this is exactly what I thought it to be. He said, this is good. I don't need a cheerleader. I don't need to tell for anybody to tell me that I'm doing good right now. It looks good. So after he did that, the Bible says that he said, this is not complete. Because I've got animals and I got birds and I got fishes. I got multitudes of them, but there's only one problem. I've got to reinstitute leadership in the earth. And if I'm going to reinstitute leadership in the earth, I can't just give it something from the earth. I'm going to call it out of the earth. But in order for it to rule according to kingdom principle and kingdom mindedness, I've got to put a piece of me in it. Before it can become he. Before it can become him, I've got to put me in. So the Bible said that God breathed. Somebody say breathe. God breathed into man. And man became a living soul. He formed man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostril the breath of life, the ruach. And he became a living soul. Watch this. The word soul in the Hebrew is nefesh. And nefesh meaning a vibrant, rigorous, breathing, conscious, living being. Now note here that the man Adam, was empty. He was an empty shell until God. Give me that. Hold on to it. It was an empty shell. Consider this being a man, if you can imagine how asinine that sounds. Consider that balloon being a man. It was just empty, hold it up. It had a frame, but it was lifeless. Until God breathed. Until God breathed. Somebody will say, breathe. Somebody ought to shout, breathe into me, Lord Jesus. Until God breathed into Adam. And Adam became. He breathed. What did he breathe? He breathed the Ruach. That is the life of God into him. Now, despite his pulchritudinous status, stature, Adam was just the form of a man until the breath of God entered into him. Likewise, no, hallelujah to God, no matter how physically alive or physically attractive you are, until the Holy Spirit breathes into you, until he takes a permanent occupation in your life, you are just an incomplete, unfinished figment of a man. Somebody talk to me. Good looking and attractive, but dead and lifeless, having neither strength, vigor, nor vitality to live out your purpose. Somebody talk to me, please. Without the breath of God, you are just dust. Touch somebody and tell them, you're just dust. You're dust without him. I said, squeeze somebody's hand, don't be intimidated, and tell them, you're dust without him. Hallelujah to God. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You're nothing but dust without him. But look what the text says. The text says God breathed the Ruach. That is the very life of God. Somebody be encouraged, because I'm getting ready to come home. Hallelujah. The breath of God into Adam and Patrick. He became, amen, alive. May God Almighty breathe life into this congregation. Resuscitate everything that is dead and lifeless. Come on, somebody, hear me. As God breathed into Adam and Jesus breathed upon his disciples, may God breathe new life into your very being. Like a defibrillator in the hands of a medical doctor, reviving the heart of someone who just flatlined, may God shock and reboot the heart of this ministry with the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. Like a registered nurse getting ready to administer a tetanus shot, may the Holy Ghost inject us with the power that activates the miraculous. Somebody say yes. Like a skilled musician blowing through the horns of a saxophone. Hallelujah, somebody. May the Holy Spirit fill our lives with his presence until our spirits explode in unending waves of praise and exaltation. Like a tornadic eruption. May the Holy Ghost blow the wind of Pentecost through the pews of refuge until we are captured and enraptured like Moses in his Shekinah glory. Breath of God, let's shout, breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe on me. For those of you who are longing for a fresh touch of his presence, that's it. May God ignite your soul and fill your life with fire and power that awakens and explodes into the unfathomable greatness of the Holy Spirit working in a life of a desperate, hungry, and thirsty soul for the presence of God. Breath of God, fill this house like fresh air from an oxygen tank. May the Holy Ghost breathe on us until the life of Christ becomes our sole passion for living. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. The writer said it like this. Let him breathe on me. Let the breath of God breathe on me.
Come on, somebody. Breathe on me until every dead thing in me rise to life and power. Somebody shout, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Some of you don't know what it is I'm talking about. When he breathes on you, everything in you, everything around you, in your house and on your family, becomes alive. Come on, somebody. If you need a lifter, you got to tell the Holy Ghost, breathe. Holy Ghost, breathe. I need you to breathe on me. Come. The Holy Ghost is the one that produces life in you. Without him, everything is breathless, lifeless, and powerless. The Holy Ghost is the life of the church. Everybody knows that unless the sermon is laced with the word, seasoned and spiked with the Spirit, all it is a well-prepared, articulate, empty, lifeless speech that cannot motivate a wet dog to shake or bark. On the contrary, the Holy Ghost is the one that puts life in the service. He is the one that motivates, instigates, and inspires. He is the one that invigorates. He is the one that injects and empowers the servants of God. He is the one who transforms professional expositors and paid pulpiteers into Pentecostal preachers and oracles of the gospel. He is the one that equips, endows, and enables soft-spoken, timid Timothy, feeble men to destroy giants, move mountains, cause walls to fall, break yokes, and set the oppressed free. Shouts, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the life of the church. You gotta have him, because without him, everything is dull and docile. Everything is mechanical and ineffective. You gotta have him, because without him, there is no potency. Everything appears limp, lifeless, devoid of the urge to emerge. We've got to have him, because without him, worship is just an empty performance without flavor, favor, hallelujah, passion, or power. Somebody say yes. Without him, ministry is reduced to religious piety, hallelujah, and ritualistic formality. Without him, any church without the Spirit of God moving in it is breathless, lifeless, powerless, helpless, and worthless in the presence of a world in chaos and crisis. Tell somebody, I got to have him. I want to know him, but I want to just more than know him. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. Somebody shout, it's the Holy Ghost. I gotta have him. Otherwise, we are like asthmatic patients struggling and gasping to breathe without the help of an inhaler. Hallelujah, somebody. Shout, I gotta have him. Samuel Shadrach, hallelujah, said this. He said, men ablaze are invincible. Hell trembles when men kindle. May God kindle a fire in you and me that turn the city upside down. I'm gonna preach here. Shout, I gotta have him. We gotta have him, because without him, the breath and power of the Holy Spirit, not only is the church, amen, breathless and powerless, we will never make any significant impact on this perverse generation. Shout, I gotta have you. In the midst
of a perverse generation. He's still, Williams, asking for 12 men, 12 women who are totally sold out. 12 men and 12 women who don't necessarily have the articulation to declare the mysteries of God, but are available to be filled. Empty vessels in wait. Tell somebody, I'm in waiting. There are some of you that are in waiting. You are like someone in the doctor's office, and I'm waiting patiently. I can't wait for my number to be called. I can't wait for my name to be called. I've been longing for this all my life, since I've been filled, hallelujah to God, since I've been saved, since 12 years old. I've been longing for the Pentecostal fire, the Pentecostal blaze, for an internal invasion, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit. I've met great men. I stood in the presence of great men on earth, but I want the God of the heavens through the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. I'm in waiting. Don't bother me. Don't interrupt me with your gossip, your scandals, and your stupidity. Left me alone. Hallelujah. I'm hungry for another power. Keep your money and everything like that. I'm hungry for another power. I'm hungry for you, Holy Spirit. This church is hungry for you. What good is an immaculate building locked up, shut up, empty? What brings glory to a house, no matter what neighborhood it's in, what brings glory to it is not how well it looks, but who lives in it. If you got criminals and bandits roaming around, living in a mansion in your upscale neighborhood, all of the quality and value of those houses come down because of who's living next door. Are you hearing me, somebody? You need to serve eviction notice. Kick some things out of your life. Holy Spirit is on the doorstep, but he's saying it's too crowded in there. Yeah. You got one too many up in there. I need total access. Man, ain't you been saved long enough now? 18, 16, 19, 20, 22, 15, 5, 10. Years, never experienced him, never had him interrupt your dreams. That's why your mind is so filled with sexual perversion that you go to bed at nights and all kinds of crazy stuff is what you're dreaming. But man, when you can truly say, I've been dreaming of the Holy Spirit sitting upon the throne of my heart, it ain't gonna be long before he comes. Refuge, I want the remnant of refuge that has been crying out never to become discouraged. Because he told me to tell you he's coming. And he says, when I come, no, I'm not just going to come with just a little move. It's going to be like an unstoppable flood. Come on, somebody. I'm coming in the rush of the wind. Somebody shout, I need him. Somebody shout, got to have him. When the anointing comes into your life, what would have caused, watch this, insurmountable difficulty and pressure? The anointing allows you, hallelujah, to do without stress or strain. The difference between natural abilities, raw talent, and spiritual gifts is the measure of anointing, the measure of oil, or the level of anointing that's flowing in your life. Case in point, there are multitudes of gifted musicians around, but the difference that set David apart from religious entertainers is the anointing that was flowing in his life. His was a divine anointing that didn't just make you feel good, but it
when he played, he didn't need to make, hallelujah, you didn't need to make an altar call, because the spirit of him, hallelujah, that lived within was able to break satanic stronghold, loose chokeholds, loose shackles, lifted heavy burdens, rebuked depression, subdued devils and demons, and restored peace to the troubled mind. Touch your neighbor, tell him, I got to close. I'm closing for real. In other words, Michelle, the Holy Ghost is not just a breath of fresh air that offers a sight, a sigh of relief to the oppressed, like yeast that makes dough rise. The presence lifts you above the ordinary and enables you, Myrna, to operate in the limitless realm, hallelujah, of the supernatural. Tell somebody, I got to go there. The Holy Spirit on your life, he causes you to become bigger than your own preconceived abilities. The Holy Ghost in your life, he sees you struggling, gasping for the strength to do greater, to go further, to run faster, to climb higher. And as I take my seat, I hear the Holy Ghost saying to refuge, to somebody in this room, I want to blow you up. Somebody say yes. You're too normal, you're too natural. I want to blow you up. Come on and say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Touch your neighbor and tell them, the Holy Ghost want to blow you up. Say yeah. I'm not talking about, amen, a self, amen, bomber from ISIS. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit want to make you bigger, want to make you better, want you to do better and bigger things. Refuge, are you ready? Are you ready to smoke the town with the presence of God? Somebody cry at me. In other words, the Holy Ghost, he not just the breath of God, he wants to see you rise. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. He sees you struggling, gasping to breathe, and he comes in to say, I want to inject and infuse you with the very breath of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Say yes. Say yes. If you're too normal to be supernatural, you gotta tell him, Holy Ghost, just breathe in me. You ain't got to give me money in my pocket. Holy Spirit, just breathe on me. You don't have to put me in the company of the high and mighty. Just breathe in me. You don't have to call me out front and put me in a pulpit. Just give me some of what you got. Holy Ghost, I need you to breathe in me. Say yes. So the text says, Azan, as I take my seat, the text says that Jesus, he told his disciples, you're getting ready to go on a journey. I'm getting ready to make you rule the world. I'm getting ready to send you where feet can't take you. I'm getting ready to make you make the headlines. I'm getting ready to let your name be in the paper. Every poster in town, every reporter in town will carry your story. But before I send you, hallelujah, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I gotta send you big. Somebody say yes. Don't carry script. Don't carry extra coat. Don't carry no money. I'm gonna give you something that will keep you where money can't keep you. Somebody say yes. As he sent me, so send I you. And he breathe upon them and declared, receive the Holy Ghost. I come to tell our fears. May the Holy Ghost breathe upon you. Receive the Holy Ghost, for the journey that was ahead of them required that they had a good big, that they go big. For the challenges they would face, man, they needed the very breath of God blowing, enabling, and empowering them along the journey. So he did not open up an account in Bank of America. He did not give them all the money in the world. He did not open up trust fund for them. He didn't buy them houses, pay them a good salary, and gave them housing with transportation paid like us preachers today. He just breathed upon them, and I come to tell the whole